Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Keeping the Lights On. Here's Kathy Deming with our scripture reading.
Reading from Leviticus 24, verses 1 through 9. Excuse me. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly. Aaron shall set it up in the tent of meeting, outside the curtain of the covenant, to burn from evening to morning before the Lord regularly. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. He shall set up the lamps on the lampstand of pure gold before the Lord regularly. You shall take choice flours and bake 12 loaves of it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf. You shall place them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, on the table of pure gold. You shall put pure frankincense with each row, to be a token offering for the bread, as an offering by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath day, Aaron shall set them in order before the Lord regularly, as a commitment of the people of Israel, as a covenant forever. They shall be for Aaron and his descendants, who shall eat them in a holy place, for they are most holy portions for him from the offerings by fire to the Lord, a perpetual due. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The reading today comes from the book of Leviticus, a book that most Baptists don't spend a whole lot of time in, but one that is good for us to consider, to let work on us a little bit during this season of stewardship. And as we heard the words, we may have picked up on the fact that there are two sections even within those 9 verses, one on light and one on bread. And if you'll allow me the privilege today, I think I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about light. Maybe we can get to bread another time. Across cultures, and for most of recorded human history, the flame of a candle, the flame of fire, has been a reminder of hope and resilience. Whether it comes from a single wick piercing through the darkness, or a whole community of lights illuminating a larger expanse, the promise of a light that persists and points a way forward brings us hope. It gives us joy, and it calms our weary souls. We light a candle when the power goes out so that we can see the space around us. We light a candle to offer a scent. Perhaps you have one that smells like pumpkin or cinnamon right now. A scent that brings us calm and helps us relax. We light candles sometimes when we pray, an action to accompany our thoughts and words, a light to help us focus our attention on that for which or for whom we are praying. We light candles in church to symbolize the presence of God in our midst. Some of the most raw and tender and sacred moments of our lives are illumined by the blaze of a candle. And when there is a major event, a global event, a national event, say the end of a war, the death of a significant leader, a major historical event out of which people want to come together, to remember the past or to remember a lesson so that we might create a brighter future together, they light a candle. They light an eternal flame, one that will live on, one that cannot be extinguished by rain or wind, one that is intended to be ever blazing, an ever-present reminder of where we've come from and the kind of future that we would like to build together. There are some modern examples of eternal flames. If you go to Wikipedia and type in eternal flame, you can find a very expansive list that is global. But here are some national examples. There are flames in California and Connecticut and Florida honoring veterans and fallen servicemen and women. There are flames in Massachusetts and Alabama and Virginia and Ohio, all honoring the memory of former President John F. Kennedy. There are flames in Hawaii, Pennsylvania, and New York, remembering those who lost their lives on September 11th. There's a flame in Georgia honoring the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And there are flames in Tennessee honoring members of the Cherokee Nation who lost their lives due to American colonialism. There is another eternal flame, one that burns in the Hall of Remembrance at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C. It's encircled by the names of concentration camps. It comes kind of in a table like this one. The flame sticks up through the middle, and around it are printed the names of death camps. But if you step back a little bit and look at the flame from the front, you can see inscribed on a stone slab that hangs behind it the following words from the book of Deuteronomy. Only guard yourself and guard your soul carefully, lest you forget the things that your eyes saw, and lest these things depart your heart all the days of your life, and you shall make them known to your children and to your children's children. There's an echo of legacy in those words that we find in today's scripture reading as well. The light of that eternal flame at the Holocaust Museum pierces through the names of death. It pierces through the names of darkness and death that surround it, and it illumines the words of the Hebrew Bible. The light pierces through the darkness and inspires hope as it summons people worldwide to remember where we have been and to confront hatred with love and to confront despair with hope. That flame shines as an eternal reminder that we may never forget where hatred and silent complicity will lead us. Now, though we may remember these contemporary examples of eternal flames, the idea of an inextinguishable fire has been around for quite some time. When the Israelites set up their tabernacle, they were living in the wilderness, the perpetual liminal space between Egypt and the Promised Land. And as they wandered and waited for their future with God to arrive, God spoke to Moses, often with words that Moses was then to go and speak to God's people. And one of the things that God said to Moses in such a way as they were wandering in the wilderness was about keeping the light on in their tabernacle. Now, in Moses' day, remember, keeping the light on required a little bit more effort than walking into a building and flipping a switch. Keeping the light on in the tabernacle meant establishing and maintaining an eternal flame, one like the one in the Holocaust Museum, one like the one in Tennessee or Hawaii or wherever you may have seen an eternal flame. It meant establishing a lamp that required oil to keep it running. It meant making sure that the oil was always there. And it meant that somebody was there keeping watch and maintaining the flame throughout the day and throughout the night. Now, this task was too much for Moses or Aaron to manage alone, and it was too important to let it fall by the wayside. After all, God had commanded that the light stay on in the tabernacle. And so God told Moses to invite all the people to participate. Keeping the tabernacle flame burning continually was an all-hands-on-deck endeavor. It would require that all the people bring a portion of the oil from their pressed olives, a portion that they probably could have used for cooking or for keeping their lights on at home, for that matter. But in order to keep that tabernacle lamp burning, everybody had to give a little. Why was it so important to keep that lamp burning, I wonder, as I read the text from Leviticus? Well, I suppose the honest truth is we don't really know. Some say that the tabernacle eternal flame burned to remind the people that their God, whose name was Yahweh, was the same God who separated light from darkness in the beginning of creation. You remember the Genesis narrative. The God who spoke light into being, pulling it from the darkness, was the same God who dwelled in that tabernacle. Others say that the unextinguishable flame was a symbol of God's presence with the people in their darkest night. After all, theirs was the God who led them with a pillar of fire. And still others say that it's the shared responsibility of keeping the lamp burning that was so important. It was a reminder of the relational nature of the covenant that that same God had made between God and God's own people. This was a relationship of mutual love and mutual responsibility. We may have never stepped foot inside an ancient Jewish tabernacle before. Raise your hand if I'm wrong about that. I have not. But we have learned a little bit about the importance of keeping the lights on, so to speak. There have been seasons for this church and for some of us in our personal lives that feel like darkness, that feel like wilderness, like a no man's land that sneaks up on us out of nowhere and catches us when we least expect it and when we are least prepared. In these situations, we feel lost and uncertain. We don't know what the future holds, and we begin to wonder if the lights in the sanctuary, which is the closest thing that we have to a tabernacle, we begin to wonder if those lights even need to be lit at all, much less if we want to give our oil, our resources, or our hard-earned dollars to make sure that they never go out. Wouldn't it be better for us to just give to another nonprofit? You know, something that does more than just turn the lights on? Wouldn't it be smarter for us to just put our money away and save it for college tuition or room and board? Isn't there a more effective way to use the gifts that God has entrusted to us? In our seasons of darkness, in our times of wilderness, we can think of a million different things to do with the fruits of our labor. So why is it so important to keep the lights on? Why does it matter to God that the lamp and the tabernacle never go out? Well, these questions have been asked for many generations, and perhaps we're hearing them now more than ever. The pandemic has certainly accelerated them, as many of us couldn't even worship in the buildings that our tithes were going to light. In many ways, the big and the beautiful displays of faith, the large group gatherings, the extraordinary musical presentations, the all-hands-on-deck missions projects were no longer happening, at least in the same ways that they once did. Everything felt different. We were in a wilderness. Why did we need to keep the lights on? Well, in the smaller moments, the kind that often go unnoticed, even in the midst of darkness, little things were happening. A grieving widow came to sit in the pew that she used to share with her husband. An engaged couple came and they said their vows in the presence of just a few friends and family. A woman sat over there and she prayed about a difficult family relationship. A singer stood up here and offered a solo melody that wouldn't be heard for a few more days on YouTube, but would eventually speak to worshipers in their own homes. A prayer was voiced out there from the columbarium. A recovery group was welcomed over there, and it welcomed new members in a critical time. A Boy Scout installed a project just over there, and earned the title Eagle. Preschool children attended chapel. A property manager gave a tour of a building so that those of us who call this place home could see the walls that for so many years had surrounded their tears, their laughter, their prayers during the most ordinary and sacred moments. You see, the light here never went out, even when we weren't here to see it all together. The light never went out, and it stood to remind those who came alone to see it, those who came in the midst of their own darkest night. The light never went out, and it reminded each one of us that our God is indeed the same God of creation, the one who so long ago spoke light that shone in the darkness. The light never went out here, and it reminded each one of us that our God is still leading the way in our lives and for our church. That is the same God who led the Israelites with a pillar of fire. The light never went out, and it reminded each one of us that it takes every one of us bringing our oil, offering our resources, bringing all of our gifts to the table so that there's always enough to keep the lights on. Despite our tendency to gravitate toward the bigger things, especially during a season of stewardship when we're dreaming new dreams and imagining ways that those dreams could become reality, it is a common practice to celebrate the biggest things that we have accomplished together. But in seasons like that, the smaller things sometimes go unnoticed. The simplest things, like keeping the lights on, the eternal flame of our tabernacle, can make the biggest difference of all. Writer and poet Jan Richardson writes, "It matters. It matters that we hold the light for one another. It matters that we bear witness to the light that holds us all, that we testify to this light that shines its infinite love and mercy on us across oceans, across borders, and across time. It matters that the light stay on, because you never know who needs to come and catch a glimpse." Amen.